In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Come and go with me to my Father's house. Come on. To my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. Come on, it's not very far. It's not very far to my Father's house. Where?
To my Father's house. To my Father's house.
It's not very far to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the light in my Father's house. Where?
In my Father's house.
Where?
In my Father's house.
Jesus is the light in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. It's not very far. It's not very far to my Father's house. To my Father's house. It's not very far to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. Listen to the word of God from Isaiah 49. The first word is listen. Listen to me, O coastlands, and hearken, you people from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. It was no mistake. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He named my name. He made my mouth a sharp sword. This is a wonderful scripture. It's certainly about Jesus. But not only about Jesus, but about his prophetic people, that the Lord has called us from the womb, that the Lord has called us in our mother's womb. The Lord has called us from the foundation of the world, that he has given us a vocation, that we would proclaim his word, that we would proclaim his name, that we would be the people that would be the harvesters. Let me tell you that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And my friends, don't wait for the priests. Don't wait for the bishops. Don't wait for the monks. Don't wait for the nuns. Don't wait for the pastors. Don't wait for me. You are part of the harvest crew. You have been called from your mother's womb. You have been called to be the dragnet, to get in your net the good and the bad, and to bring it to Jesus and let him sort the things out. You have been called in this day for such a time as this, for such a time as this. You have been called. You say, well, I'm not worthy. Well, you know what? Get over it. No one is worthy. No one is worthy but the Lamb. The Lamb of God is the only worthy one. He is the Lamb that is worthy. He is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth. He is the Lamb who opens our hearts. He is the Lamb who gives new life in abundance. He is the Lamb who gave us himself and shed his blood for us. We celebrate this week the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God, the shedding of the blood which is our redemption. We celebrate this week the great love of God poured out at Calvary and the love of God that conquered even death through the resurrection. We celebrate this week the awesome gift of the Paschal mystery, our redemption. We celebrate what Jesus did, what he did, the infinite work of Jesus. This is why I was born. This is why I came into the world. Exactly. He is the only one that came into the world to die. He is the only baby born to die. But his death is redemptive. His death is for us and our salvation. His death is greater than anything that he did in his public ministry. His death was to change our hearts. That's why he died. Because what the law could not do, God did through his Son by sending him in the likeness of human flesh, that he took upon himself the sins of the world, absorbed it all, took it upon himself. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. What happened on the cross is bigger than anyone could ever imagine. What happened on the cross is the outpoured love of the Father. What happened on the cross is infinite. It is infinite love. Infinite. This is why he was born, to be the Lamb of sacrifice. John the Baptist, when he saw him, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, the new Passover." Oh, yes. Our Jewish brothers and sisters will celebrate Passover tonight. Oh, yes, they will celebrate Passover tonight. And I pray that as they are in the synagogues, I pray that Jesus would show himself as he did Rabbi Zoli. Rabbi Zoli. Yes, Rabbi Zoli was celebrating Yom Kippur, one of the fall feasts. The forgiveness of God, you know, when they confess their sins. And there Rabbi Zoli was in, he is the chief rabbi of Rome. And as he is there appears to him Yeshua HaMashiach, dressed as a Jewish man. Oh, the rabbi starts to shake. He cannot go on. Someone has to finish the service. After the service, he went into his room, opened up some magazines, thought that, you know, this is a little too much. This is a little too much. I know who this was. This was Yeshua. He knew it was Yeshua. And his little daughter came in and said, "Papa, who is that man in white in the synagogue?" Oh, Lord, it's the Passover. Tonight they're going to be at their tables rather than at the synagogue. Oh, tonight they'll be at their tables, Lord. Show yourself to them, O God. Yeshua HaMashiach, show yourself to our brothers and sisters. The olive tree, oh, the olive tree, show yourself to them tonight. Show yourself to them, for salvation is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Oh, show yourself to our brother, our elder brother. Show yourself tonight to the people there, to those people that will just be doing a commemorative meal. Oh, God, make it a real commemorative meal. Oh, Jesus, show up tonight. Show up in the homes of our Jewish brothers and sisters. Show up. Let them come to know you. Let them come to know you. Oh, God, but not only to them, Lord, but we celebrate the Paschal mystery. Oh, Jesus, show up at our churches tomorrow on Holy Thursday. I know you will be there as Eucharist, but show up in ways that people see you, Lord, that people would not deny that it is you, oh, God. Show up on Good Friday, Lord, when we celebrate the cross. Show up, oh, God. Show up with visions and show up with words and show up with the presence of God. And on Holy Saturday, when we celebrate the holy resurrection of our Lord, show up, oh God, in ways you've never showed up. We know you will be there sacramentally. Oh, but show up with your presence. Let us be in heaven during these 3 days. Oh God, show up as you did that day with Rabbi Zoli. Show up, show up, show up, show up, show up, show up. What will it take for a church to come back to God? Like, what will it take for a church to come back to God? Remember what Jesus said. If, to the brothers, you know, send us back and just to warn our brother, send me back, I warn my brothers, and they'll be good. And he said, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, They will not listen even if somebody rises from the dead. They did not listen. We do not listen. He has been raised from the dead. We do not listen. I love it when people say to me, you know, no one's ever come back. I said, I beg to differ with you. I beg to differ with you. Jesus has come back. And you know what he did in the book of Revelation? He went into the place of Sheol, and he said to the devil, your days have been numbered. I'm going to steal the keys from you of death and Hades. I'm taking from you the keys. You don't have the power you have now. Through my redemptive death, you are a tied dog. Oh, but he goes around seeking someone to devour, like a roaring lion. Doesn't seem very tied when he comes at us. The only thing we have is the cross. Oh, he hit me in the shadow of his hand. He made me a polished arrow in his quiver. He hit me away. Oh, yes. Have you ever thought of yourself as a polished arrow? Have you thought of yourself as a polished arrow in the quiver of the Lord? Have you ever thought of yourself that he can aim you into the hearts of people and you can speak the word and that things would happen? Have you ever thought of yourself as being an arrow that pierces the heart of people? Have you ever thought of yourself as that? I had someone who came recently that they told me when you spoke the other day, it was as if you and I were the only one in the church. Oh, I was an arrow that day. That's something I can't do. How can I give revelation to people? I cannot give revelation to people. I can speak the word, but I cannot open the heart. That's not my job. I don't have that ability. I have the ability to speak the word. I do not have the ability to touch the heart. That's God. But I am an arrow. I am an arrow that God shoots out. Oh, yeah. And he goes looking for those that are ready. Always looking for those that are ready to come unto me, Jesus says, all of you who find life weary and burdensome, and I will refresh you. That's he's looking for those that are ripe, you know, for those that are ripe, that are on the tree, ready to be picked for the harvest, that have gone through the most difficult time, and they have no place to turn. And I say, oh, there is somewhere, some place to turn. And his name is Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Messiah. There is someone to turn to in the midst of all that you're going through. His name is Jesus. And he is the worthy one to be turned to. He's the only one that can make scrambled eggs and make a nice frittata out of it. And things can happen even if your life is all messed up. So I made a frittata the other day. Father Matthew was at the house and I said, I'm going to make eggs. And he said, are you going to make an omelet? And I wasn't planning on it. So he said, an omelet. So I said, I'll make an omelet. And I got all the things in the refrigerator. My Lord, I had sausages and I had cold cuts and I had cheese and I cleaned out the refrigerator and I put it all together and I cooked it as an omelet and then put it in the oven because I don't know how to turn it. And so I don't know how to turn it. So I found another way, you know. What you can't do, the stove can do, you know. That's what I did. So I put it in the oven and it was fine. It came out as an omelet. And people yesterday, David Noy said to me, I never had an omelet like that in my whole life. That's what he said to me. I never had an omelet like that in my whole life. And you know what? That's what the Lord can do to our scrambled eggs life. You know, that's what he can do. You know, our eggs are all scrambled and none of them are sunny side up anymore. They'd all been scrambled. You know, our brains are scrambled. Our emotions are scrambled. Everything's scrambled, you know. But you see what the Lord can do. Look what the Lord can do, huh? Look what the Lord can do. He can take the scrambled eggs and he can do miracles with it. He can put some sausages in it and he can put some ham. And oh, he can do all these wonderful things with scrambled eggs and make an omelet. And he doesn't even need an oven. He's got the fire of the Holy Ghost.
and that fire will consume us in love. I'm telling you, that's what the Lord can do. But you see, I know I'm an arrow in his quiver, but I want to be that arrow. But listen to that. You know, I don't want to be proud. And he said to me, "You are my servant." Oh yes. Not you're the cheese, you're the head cheese, you know, you're the chief. You're my servant. That's who you are as an Arab. You're my servant. You're my servant. Israel, of whom I will be glorified. But I said as scrambled eggs, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity. Poor me. But yet, my right is with the Lord. My recompense with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. Oh, yeah. Not my ability, not my gift, not my the way that I look or the way that I present myself. My God has become my strength. When you're scrambled eggs, you know that unless he becomes your strength, you're not going to have any frittata. You're not going to have any omelet. You're just going to have scrambled eggs for the rest of your life. But when he becomes your strength, my God, he can do what he knows how to do. He can be what he wants to be through you. He can conquer whom he wants to conquer. But you see, when my God has become my strength, I have to realize that I have reached the end of my rope. I've reached the end of my strength. I can't go any further. I'm on a dead-end street. I can't go on unless he does something for me. Oh, that's a hard place to be at. And my Lord, I've been there many, many times. Some people say, I've been there once. Oh, no. I've been there many, many times. I have visited that place many, many times. That dead-end street, that end of the rope experience, that scrambled eggs when I thought everything was lost and I had worked in vain and toiled in vain, and of what good is it when the devil was discouraging me? But you see, the answer to this whole thing is the Lord has become my strength. The Lord has become my salvation. The Lord is my salvation and my strength. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my life's refuge. Of whom should I be afraid? Though the mountains may fall into the sea, and they just might, though the earth quake all around me, still I know, O Lord, let your face shine upon me, and I shall be saved. My Lord, you see, I'm going to tell you, the church in America is at the best place that it ever could be at. We are bankrupt. We don't know A from Z. We don't know very much, you know. If we just would just go to the Lord and say, Oh, Lord, we have played the game of the world. We have become a business and not the church of the living God. Oh, God, forgive us. We don't know how to do very much. You know what God would come and do? Oh, he'd say, scrambled eggs, church, I'm going to make a beautiful omelet out of you. And people are going to feast at your door. And I'm going to send them all because you know what? You finally realize that you're just the body and not the head. You finally realize that you're not God as the church, but you're the servant of the Lord. You know? Oh, yes, Lord, we say we are the servant of the Lord, but then we do things without even consulting the Lord. We do it as individuals. We do it as a church. And what does the Lord do to us when we do that? He brings us to our knees. The word is called discipline. Oh, the Lord disciplines his children. The church is under the discipline of the Lord now. If he does not discipline us, it tells us in the book of Hebrews, then we are illegitimate. He is disciplining his church. And what is he waiting for? That his church would say, oh God, we have messed up. We were supposed to change the culture, and the culture has changed us. Oh Lord, how stupid we have been, because we have relied upon ourselves and not upon the cross. Oh Lord, change us. We're just scrambled eggs. You see, then the Lord would run. You see, not only to the church, but to the individual in the church. That's when things begin to happen. When you realize you're scrambled eggs. When you realize you can't put two pennies together. When you realize that you've reached the dead-end street. When you realize that nothing that you do is going to work, because he's not going to let it work. But you know, then you say, oh God, here I am. I come to do thy will. Oh yeah, I can say, I have labored in vain, I spent my strength for nothing in vanity. But yet the Lord is with me, my recompense, my God. He formed me from the womb to be his servant. He says it's too light a thing that you should only be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. That is exactly what the church was called to be and is called to be. Lumen Gentium. They've written that beautiful document, light to the nations, Lumen Gentium. But we do not become light to the nations when the culture changes us. We become light to the nations when the cross is our only victory, when the cross is our only power, when the cross is our only jewel, when the crucified risen Lord is all we have. That's when we become light to the nations, not before. And how does the Lord bring us there? Through discipline. But who will interpret the discipline? No one yet sees it. It's the culture. No, baby, it's the Lord lowering you to ask mercy and forgiveness and to rely upon him and not the things of the world. Individually and as a church. What will it take? How low do we have to get individually? How low do we have to get as a church for us to go to God and say, I've reached the dead end. Please show us the next step. I don't know how to do it. Because if you don't know now, you're going to go around again the same place. 40 years I endured that generation. I said there are people whose hearts go astray. They do not know my way, so I swore in my anger they shall not enter into my rest. And they went round and round and round and round and round. And as I've often said, when they saw this boulder, they said, yeah, we saw this several times, yeah. It seems like we every once in a while, like every 6 months, we see the same boulder, yeah. 40 years it took for Israel to say, come on, scrambled eggs. See, the only power the church has is the cross and the risen Lord. That's all we have, honest. And the poor, that's all we have. It's not in Michelangelo's beautiful things, it's nothing. I love them, but you know what? That's not where our power is. That's not where our riches are. Our riches are in the cross. That's just the way it is. No place else but in the cross. That's why St. Paul said, far be it from me to glory in anything but the cross of Jesus Christ, where I have been crucified to the world and the world to me. So maybe you have reached that point of scrambled eggs. Maybe you have reached the point of the dead-end street. Maybe you're at the end of your rope. Maybe you've lost your job. I'm going to tell you, listen to me if you've never listened to me now. That Jesus is sufficient. That Jesus is sufficient. that Jesus is sufficient. Maybe you've reached the end of your rope. Maybe you've reached the point of no return. Maybe you've reached the dead-end street. Maybe those things have happened and you've lost your job, you can't pay your bills. I want to tell you again, Jesus is sufficient. Jesus is sufficient. Jesus is sufficient. Then you go to him and you just tell him, here I am, Lord. I've made a mess out of things, but now I'm going to turn over the reins to you. Here I am, Lord. You know, if the church would do that, I tell you, my friends, it'd be a different church in 3 years. It'd be a different church in 2 years. It'd be a different church in 9 months. But we still think we know how to do it. What will it take for the church and for individuals to reach the point that we don't even have a clue? Try, try, try. You go to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and you go see that they stopped trying and they started to rely. When you stop trying and start to rely, things begin to happen. You know, people say, well, I say my prayers. Isn't that nice? I'm glad you do. But the prayer that he wants is a humble, contrite heart. Oh, God, you will not spurn. A broken spirit you will not cast away. Let me tell you, on Thursday at 7:30, we'll have our great service, the Lord's Supper, at Holy Rosary in Winthrop. And then until midnight, we'll have adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ as Eucharist. It is the day the Lord gave us the great sacrament, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of his Holy Son, Jesus Christ, true God and true man. Friday, 7:30 at Holy Rosary, we'll be celebrating the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the veneration of the cross, the proclamation of the Passion according to St. John. Then Saturday, we go through the whole of salvation history, hearing the readings that the Lord has given us, until finally he is not here, he has been raised. These 3 days are...
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.